Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If I take my bandana out a couple of times, it's because the water was nice and wonderful, but when you got waders on and a robe over top of that, you get a little warm. But I'm glad that we all could be here today and be in the house of the Lord. Our scripture for today comes from 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 22, I'm not going to be reading the whole of Solomon's prayer, but I'm going to be reading the first part of his prayer of dedication at the temple. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven and said, "Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, and the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel.' If only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain God. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and this plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward his temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." Solomon goes on to share seven different requests that he has. But I want to stop right here, because one of the things that we've been learning about prayer for the past 6 months, and as we've learned about prayer, you come to God. And what I want to know from you today, I'll give you the question up front. Are you confident when you go to God in prayer? Solomon was confident that God would listen. But there's some ins and outs here, and there's a little bit of difference that maybe we're not used to. The very first thing is that Solomon prays standing with hands raised in front of the altar. Okay? He's facing the altar. The temple has just been built. It has been finished. This is the opening dedication of this temple that Solomon has built. David desired to build it, but God told David, "Not you, but your son will do this." And Solomon stands in front of God with his hands raised and looking up to sky. This would have been very similar to the way that Jesus would have prayed a lot. I know a lot of times we talk about bowed head, clasped hands in reverence to God. But in this case, Solomon is looking up to God and saying, "God, I recognize you, I notice you, I know who you are." What I want to tell you is there's many different ways to pray. Not just sitting down or kneeling, not just with your head bowed or your hands folded together. There are many ways to pray. I surely hope that there are some times while you're driving somewhere that you're praying and you don't have your head bowed and your hands folded. Okay? We can very simply say, "Well, God protects us, God takes care of us," but I think also God gives us the brain to really think about. For many years now, when I had to commute places, a lot of my prayer time was in my car. And especially when I need to go visit with somebody in the hospital, say in Roanoke or down to Bristol, that's a prayer time for me. That's a time to talk with God. My eyes are wide open, I'm awake, I'm alert, but I'm communicating with God the whole time. In this case, Solomon is this way, looking up to God in reverence, looking up to God, recognizing who God is and how powerful God is. Now, I know for many of you, we kind of assign this to certain denominations raise their hands when they pray. What did you say? Certain denominations are the ones that raise their hands, not us. We're Baptists. You know how I know you're Baptist? Because oftentimes you're sitting on your hands so your hands don't get involved in the worship service. It's okay for your hands to be involved. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? There is nothing wrong with that. If you feel the need for that, that is a proper way to pray also. And I want you to recognize that. One of the things that Solomon comes to God and asks God to do is he asks God to remember and keep the promises, acknowledging the if. Let me deal with the first part of this sentence first. He says, God, you have made promises to my father, to your people. And I come before you today and ask you to keep those promises. We can come to God that boldly. As a young Christian, one of the verses that I found in my Bible reading was in Joel chapter 2:25. And Joel chapter 2:25 basically says, for all the years that the locusts have eaten, I will repay you. When I came to Christ, I was 19 years old. And I asked God, I found that verse, and I said, God, you made this promise. For over 18 years of my life, locusts have eaten at my life and have destroyed it. It has not been a life pleasing to you. It's been a life walked the wrong way many times, and I have done things that have not pleased you, God. Please forgive me, but I'm going to hold this promise up to you. You said that you will repay me for the years that the locusts have eaten. And for many years at the beginning of my Christian life, I held that promise up to God. And I said, God, you promised that this would be true. I want to tell you, I don't hold that promise up to God anymore. Because God has more than overabundantly to overflowing blessed my life beyond what happened the first 19 years of my life. Abundantly over and above, God has repaid me. But Solomon stands there and says, God, I expect you to keep your promises. Now, I know some folks would tell me you can't pray that way. That's too bold. Yes, you can. Solomon did it. It's an example in Scripture. You can pray that way. But I want you to notice that Solomon also recognizes there's an if. God, you have promised to keep these promises if your people live wholly for you. God didn't promise to keep those promises for people that walk their own way. God didn't promise to keep promises like that for evil folks. God only promised if, a very small word, but one that's very big. And even in this passage, Solomon says, if you wholeheartedly walk for God, God will keep those promises. Now, this should be a time that we should sit down and examine ourselves. Am I wholeheartedly following God? Am I doing what I can and all that I can? Are there things that I need to change in my life? But what I want to tell you, God has grace and patience. It takes time. I can't walk in one direction with certain aspects of my lifestyle and doing things and then just turn around and walk in the other way. Some of these things I need to learn how to unlearn and not do these things anymore, not act that way, not be impatient, not be angry. Some of these things, it takes some time, and God is willing to walk with us as long as my heart says, I'm trying the best that I can right now, God. And I believe God looks down upon us and says, you're trying with your whole heart. I will bless you. I will watch over you. I will walk with you. I know you're stumbling, but I will help you when you stumble. I will pick you up when you fall. It's a matter of, are you still trying to walk the way that God's asking you to walk? One of the things we learned a few weeks ago in the video series that we're watching at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings is that everybody has a call to be part of the kingdom of God. Everybody does. Oftentimes we talk about people called into the ministry or called into the vocational ministry. That pastor has a calling. That missionary has a calling. You know what? God has a calling for you. Are you following it? Are you walking in that way? And if you're attempting to walk in that way, no matter how much a struggle it is, God will bless you and God will keep the promises that God has made. I want you to remember Romans 8:28. Because Romans 8:28 says something that a lot of people like in the first part of it, but they don't think about the second part. The first part says, God makes all things work together for good. Everybody likes that part, right? The second part says, for those who are called according to God's purposes and those who love God. God makes no promise to make everything work together for good for all people. That is not a promise in the Bible. It's a promise only for those who are willing to walk in God's ways, who are willing to love God and set themselves aside and follow the commandments. So Solomon here says, God, remember what you promised if we do the right thing. That's what he's saying. And he says it twice in this passage that I read already. Twice he says, if we do the right thing. Are you living the way God wants you to live? Are you following the way that God wants you to walk? The second thing that Solomon acknowledges is God is too big to dwell in any structure. Can I say this another way? God will never be contained by the box you make. The box that you make and you say, this is where God, this is how I understand God, this is who God is, this is how God operates, this is what the kind of things that God does, got them in a box. Got it all, I got it nailed down. I know exactly how God works. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen the next day. God's going to work outside the box. And every time you build that box bigger, God's going to work outside that box. Shall I say it another way? You cannot control the things of this life, nor can you control God. And if you're one of those people that have got to control everything, if you're going to follow God, you got to let go of that. You've got to let go of that. God does not dwell in any structure we built. We call this a sanctuary because we have set it aside as a place that we could come to meet with God. Guess what? This is not the only sanctuary in the whole world. Amen? Amen. There are other churches that have sanctuaries, and they believe the same thing about their sanctuary. That they come to meet, that's a sacred place that they have established to meet with God. God does not live in the Baptist church. God lives in all churches. God lives everywhere. And Solomon even says, but will God really dwell on earth? The heaven, even the highest heavens, cannot contain God. So be very careful when you build a box about how you understand God and how you think, well, God always works this way, guaranteed. Because as soon as you say those words, God's going to work over here outside the box. God's probably the best magician there is to get out of any box you put God in. Okay? I'm not talking about, you know, Matt, you know what I'm talking about. God will not be in that box you build, no matter how hard you try. Solomon also calls out, asking God to hear their prayers. I don't know about you, but there's some times in my life when things just aren't going the way I think they should go. And I'm kind of at a low point in my life. And sometimes I feel like that when I pray, my prayers go up to the ceiling, hit the ceiling, and bounce right back down and lay on the ground. God didn't really hear me today. I'm not in the right place. I'm not doing it the right way. I'm not whatever that might be, however you feel. God hears our prayers. God may not answer our prayers at the moment that we want them answered. That doesn't mean that God didn't hear. That doesn't mean that God didn't take that in and that God's not concerned about what you prayed. Because God is. The answer may not come for hours, days, weeks, months, or even years. The answer may not be what you expect. Matter of fact, I'm willing to say it's going to be something more than you expect, in a direction that you didn't expect. As I get older in my prayers, oftentimes, especially for people who are sick or who have problems, Lord, you know what would be best for them. I know what I want. I want you to heal them. I want them to be completely well and never have that problem again. But Lord, you know what is best. I pattern my prayers after praying for sick people more like the four gentlemen that brought the guy on the stretcher. And they tried to get to Jesus and they couldn't get to Jesus because the crowds were around him so much and Jesus was in the house and they couldn't get their friend to him who was sick. So they climbed up on the roof of the house and dug a hole through the roof and laid their friend down in front of Jesus. If you study that scripture and look at that scripture, those four men that carried the stretcher never asked Jesus anything. The man on the stretcher never asked Jesus anything. But yet their prayers were answered. Because that man's sins were forgiven. He picked up the stretcher and walked home with it. And nobody ever asked. I know, you're going to say to me, well, what do you think they wanted? Well, okay. But there was never any words there that were asked. It was just the actions. And sometimes, I've told you this before, sometimes my meal time before grace, when I say grace before meals, contains two words, and that's it. Thank you. And I may say it three or four times. And that may be my only grace for that meal. Thank you. Solomon also asked God to forgive them when God hears their prayers. I want to recognize something here. A lot of people ask that. And a lot of people ask that as the very last thing of their prayers, and then they say, amen. I've heard a lot of people do that. This is not the end of Solomon's prayer. It goes on much further, the rest of the chapter. It's not just something that Solomon tacked on to the end of the prayer. It's something that Solomon said, Lord, forgive me. And after asking for forgiveness, then Solomon said, here's my request. Not that there's anything wrong with doing it either way, but one of the things that I want to acknowledge that sometimes we need to hear just as much is when I say, Lord, forgive me, we need to recognize the fact that we are forgiven. That when we confess our sins, God cleanses us and makes us whole and forgives us. And God goes one step beyond that that we can't do. God forgets. And when you come back tomorrow with the same sin from yesterday, and you say, Lord, please forgive me, God looks down and says, what are you talking about? Because God has already dealt with it and already put it away, and it's no longer there in your presence. So remember, God forgives you. It's gone. It says he puts it as far as the east is from the west. Okay? If I keep walking east, I will always be able to walk east. I never get to the end. Go home and try it. Walk around the table in one direction. How many times can you walk around the table to get to the end? You can't, can you? And if I walked in the other direction? And Scripture says in Psalm 103, I believe it is, that God puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. Separates us from them. Completely. So if I come to God again, now here's what I do. If Satan's trying to bug me about, you know what, you're not forgiven, I just come and say, God, thank you for already forgiving me for that. You don't remember it, but Satan does and is trying to bug me with it. But it's gone. Thank you. It's gone. I don't need to deal with it. I don't need to fuss over it. It's gone. God, thank you. And I remind myself that God has already dealt with that. Solomon prays in a very, very bold way. And I think we need to have that same kind of boldness in our lives. I think about some of the other stories. I think about Abraham. God says, I'm going to destroy what? Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham comes and says, God, if you find 50 people there that are faithful to you, will you still destroy the city? God says, no, I won't. And did you know that Abraham keeps praying? And he bargains with God down to 10 people. He keeps bargaining down and down and down. And every time he bargains with God and says, for this many people, will you destroy it? For this many, I think it's three times, four times. And God says, no, for that many, I won't. And he finally gets down to 10. And God says, if I find 10, I won't do it. The people of Israel, after coming out of Egypt. Oh, what a wonderful story. If you don't find humor in the Bible, you need to sit down and read a little bit slower. Moses is up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments. He comes back down. God's already told him before he comes down. He says, you won't believe what your people have done, God says. He comes back down and finds out that they have made a golden calf to worship. Now, here's where the humor comes in. Trust me, it's there. Moses goes to his brother Aaron and says, "How did this happen?" And Aaron says, "You won't believe it. We threw the gold in the fire and this calf walked out." Go read it. That is what Aaron says. Look at what came out of the fire. Now I have to stop and go, I've got a brother. I have to stop and go, do I believe my brother at this point or not? Some of you have siblings. How many times did you get to the place where you go, I'm not so sure what you're telling me is true? Moses goes back up the mountain and God says, don't worry about it. I'll kill them all. And you can have a new nation. And Moses boldly prays to God and says, you cannot do that. And God finally relents and changes God's mind and says, okay, I won't do that. Can we pray boldly? We must pray boldly, is what I'm going to tell you. We must. We're praying against principalities and powers that we cannot see. We need to pray boldly. We need to pray boldly and say, God, show us. God, hear us. God, protect us. God, guide us. And I'm of the opinion that we need to do it well enough that we can look God straight in the face when we say it to God so that we're paying attention to what God has to say to us. Amen. So that we can hear clearly what God has to say to us. Let's look up and talk to God. Let's look up and talk to God and be ready to receive what God's going to tell us in prayer. And let's do it boldly. So what I want to ask you, I started out with it. Are you praying to God with confidence? Confidence that God hears you? Are you praying with confidence and boldness, knowing that God is listening to you and that God will bring an answer to your prayers? Are you praying to God and saying, maybe like Moses and Abraham did at some point in time, God, you can't do that? I've done that before. And some of you may tell me, oh, you can't do that. God doesn't like that. Well, let me just say this. The lightning's gotten a little close. And I'm not going to go on about my brother over here that looks like it's been closer. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you couldn't get him to say amen on his own that time. I mean, we have examples in Scripture of people praying boldly. Let's pray boldly. Let's pray with confidence. Let's expect God to answer. Let's look up and see what God's saying to us. Let's hear it, that we might live it, so that this world can be saved. What about you? Are you ready to pray that confidently? Let's pray right now. Almighty and gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you, God, that you are in the midst of our lives. Help us to be as bold as Solomon was that day and to speak to you as he did in strength, but also to listen to what you have to say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Maybe you have a reason that you need to step forward this morning. That reason could be any number of things. It doesn't mean that you did something wrong this week that you got to step forward. Maybe you just need to step forward to praise God. Maybe you just need to step forward to sit down on a pew here and just pray as we stand and sing. Maybe you need to come and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior so that I can live that confident relationship with you, with God, that God wants me to live. For whatever reason, if you need to come forward, I'll be here to receive you.
Let's stand. Sing with us.
Prove it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Thank you, brothers. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Sing it again. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. Amen. You may be seated.
About which way to face and which, and how do I do, and when do I do that? And, you know, yeah, when do I go down? Corey was trying to do it about three times before I was ready. So, but if you would, please come up after the service and share a word of blessing with them. So just a little bit differently today. Normally we have our postlude and gives you time to think about what you've heard today. But as we leave today, please come forward. Let's close in a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for Felicia and Corey, and thank you for their willingness to deepen their commitment with you and to walk together with us in community, as we all need that. We all need to walk together and share with one another our journeys, our struggles, our joys. in all that happens. So, Lord, help us that we might do that, so that as we go out into the midst of this world, that other people might know about your incredible love for them and how they can come to and join the kingdom of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.